Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine, and we have a great show planned for you today. This morning, we are getting ready to take your calls about how to recover lost sales. Have a question about how to win over a long-lost client? We're here to help. Give us a ring at 215-953-4979 if we take your call on the air. We'll send you a $25 gift card. But before all that, let me introduce our co-hosts. First, we have Kathy Houston, the editor of Advantages. Kathy, how are you on this very rainy morning?
I'm feeling sunny inside, Andy.
Wow, isn't that special? You're
yes.
Brightening up the room, obviously, for so many reasons.
She's challenged. She's all wet.
Next, we have Michelle Bell, editor of Supplier Global Resource. Michelle, what's happening in your corner of the world today?
I'm happy because there's cupcakes here this morning.
Yes.
Andy, and I love cupcakes.
Carrot We're cake simple. Cupcakes.
We are simple
are
people.
Special things.
We are simple.
Next, we have Joe Haley, managing editor at ASI. Joe, are you ready to rant later in this show?
Oh, Andy, man, I've been working out ready to rant. You know that.
You've been working out?
That's
you
right.
Need to work out to rant?
Yeah, work out the vocals, you know. The
Interesting.
Pipes.
Okay, good. And we have a couple of special guests along for the ride. We have Tim Andrews, president and CEO of ASI. Tim, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And we also have Nicole Rollander, editor of Stitches and director of ASI Education, along for the ride. Nicole, you really ready for this next half hour?
I'm so ready, you cannot imagine.
Wow.
I just came
Look,
out
she's
of...
bursting
no,
with energy.
I've been,
oh, my God.
For 2 hours, I was editing to Save the Industry, so I'm ready to do something a little different.
Okay, we're going to need to do something different, obviously. All right. And, of course, manning the phones and the switchboard, we have our famed tech team, Steve Hawk on the switchboard, and Vinny D manning the phones. Guys, we give a little wave to the camera.
The only ones who get applause every week. The only
I
ones
wonder
who get
why.
Applause.
Well, because
yeah.
Somebody's manning the
Soundboard.
Switchboard. Okay, but before we really get going here, Joe, give us a lineup of what we're going to hear today.
You got it, Andy. As you mentioned, we do have a call-in section. How can I recover lost sales? So give us a call at 215-953-4979 or send us an email to radio@asicentral.com. If we put you on the air, you will score a $25 Visa gift card. Michelle has a look, and this is kind of an oxymoron, of the world's most ethical companies and how being ethical helps their bottom line. We also have a story today on inexpensive ways to boost morale. You ever been to the W Hotel? Anyone?
Love the
have
W.
Stay
yeah.
there? Okay, well, they have a new clothing line coming out, and Nicole's going to tell us all about that. We have 9 traits of great small businesses, a handful of other stories, but first we'll start it off with the industry news and Andy Cohen.
All right, thank you, Joe. Counselor Power 15 member Paul Loggi has announced his resignation as president of Norwood. While he said he intends to stay in the industry, he will be leaving the BIC Norwood organization as of April 15. Check out Promogram today for more details. In apparel news, 2 large suppliers reported 2009 financials last week. Broder Brothers said that its revenues fell 17% in Q4 and 24% overall in 2009. And American Apparel, meanwhile, reported an overall increase in revenue increase of 2.5% in 2009. The Federal Reserve has issued new rules that restrict the fees and expiration dates that apply to gift cards. The new guidelines, which go into effect on August 22nd, ban gift card issuers from charging dormancy, inactivity, and service fees on any gift card within a year of purchase. The rules apply to both retail and network branded cards. Plus, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what are you showing off this afternoon?
The wristwatch phone.
Wristwatch phone?
Wristwatch phone.
Did you call somebody from the wristwatch phone?
I called my cell phone.
You called your cell phone?
I did
you
indeed.
Pick up?
I did.
It must have been quite a conversation.
It actually works. It works. It's pretty cool. It has a little James Bond feel there.
No,
or Get
Joe
Smart,
Bond.
However you know.
Jojo Bond.
007.
Interesting. Well, certainly Haley. Something for Joe everybody to look forward to in Promogram today. Before we really get going, Tim, I wanted to go to you for a special announcement about an ASI show that's happening in Las Vegas.
Thank you, Andy. Yeah, we announced yesterday the ASI Holiday Preview Show in Las Vegas. It's going to be September 13th and 14th. That's a Monday and a Tuesday. The Sands Convention Center and the Venetian is our key hotel. We've opened up registration, so anybody who wants to register, distributors can go to www.asishow.com. And there's also information there for suppliers. It's going to be a tabletop show, so suppliers can very cost-effectively get into the show. It's only $699 for a tabletop. They'll be able to carry their products in and their tabletop, you know, in and avoid the drayage costs, which are so high at a lot of big shows. And we're really excited. You know, we had our show in San Diego, and we were looking at what we wanted to do in the fall in our traditional Las Vegas spot. And we had a lot of people who really wanted us to repeat last year's event, which was a show all about the holidays and what's going to come up in the fall. And so we decided to repeat it with a little different format, you know, with a tabletop and a couple of days. But exhibitions will be on the 14th, which is Tuesday, and Education Day is going to be on the 13th, which is Monday, September.
Now, mid-September seems like a perfect time for distributors to get their information ready for the fourth quarter sales sales time. I would imagine that's the reason for the timing there.
Absolutely. I mean, we had a lot of suppliers who we thought, you know, we wanted to see what they were really thinking about the show we had last year, and quite a number of people that are very big in the holiday season really asked us to put together a show again because they found last year to really help jumpstart their fourth quarter. They can get some products out there. And in fact, even some companies that typically don't have holiday items who came to the show last year put together packages for the holiday and were really really successful. Dard, you know, for instance, told me that they had a package they put together that they really traditionally didn't do in the holiday season, and they put together a few packages to have at the show, and they had really good pickup from distributors. So I think it's a good vital time, you know, in the industry, and things are turning up, and I think now's the time to do something in the fall.
Will the education session be a full session, or will it mirror last year's words? It's just focused on the new distributors.
Yeah, it's going to be the new distributor track, which, you know, has that name, but it's really for people that have been in the industry for, you know, 3 years or less to sort of polish up some of their skills. And we've had a number of people who have said to me, you know, I've been in the industry 20 years. I went to the new distributor track because I really wanted to sort of refocus myself and sort of think about new, you know, ideas. Because that track, you know, also covers things like social media and other things that are really in the news and that really people are starting to use in marketing. So it's going to be sort of a half day of education and really focused on sort of, again, jumpstarting yourself, whether you're new or whether you've been in the industry a long time, you just sort of feel like, gosh, maybe I'm in a rut and I need to get out of that rut.
Great. All right. Well, thank you for the information. Certainly, you can get more information at asishow.com and register for the ASI Holiday Preview Show in September. Thanks, Tim. Now you're free to have a carrot cake cupcake.
Excellent. Thank you, Andy.
All right. Okay. Now, while the phone lines are heating up with callers for our Q&A session on how to recover lost sales, do you want some advice from the host today on how to regain lost clients? Please give us a call at 215-953-4979. On line one, we have Julie. Julie, how are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing great. Now, what's your question for the host?
My question actually isn't about lost sales yet, but it's trying to make sure that I don't lose a sale.
Okay.
I have a really good client who's been with me for years. Lately, it seems as though every order she places with me has a problem. It's either incorrect imprinting or late shipping. She's been patient so far, but what can I do to keep her happy?
Use your preferred vendors. I mean, if you're using a supplier that you haven't worked with in the past and you're having these problems with them, maybe go to a preferred vendor list. Or speak with your suppliers and bring up the concerns of the client to them and say, look, the imprint was incorrect, the shipping date is late, we need to correct this problem, or I'm going to lose the client and you'll lose the client as well.
And definitely always use proofs. I mean, you can meet with your client up front and look at a proof together and kind of, you know, have a short meeting, kind of bond over things, make that client really feel like you're on top of stuff and have them confirm that all the colors and logo and everything is correct, which should help as well.
I would also say just not to be complacent by just talking to your supplier sales rep. Many supplier owners that I know, most of them, in fact, would welcome a phone call. Don't feel like you just need to stop at the rep. If there's really a problem, go right to the top and talk to the owner of the company.
And also make sure and check the ASI supplier ratings, which you can see on ASI Central and also on ESP, because you can, you know, do that before you place the order to make sure that the company is a reputable company with, you know, a good number of stars. And also, very important, look at the comments. The stars
right.
Tell part of the story, but dig in and look at the comments that other distributors have posted. And then, by the way, I'd urge you to also rate and comment on suppliers you've had relationships with and that you've had business with, you know, both ones that didn't do such a good job, but then also ones that did a great job, so people know, you know, what your opinion is of those suppliers. Very important, and ASI ratings are a great way to sort of cut off things before they get bad.
Right, and the suppliers that did do such a great job appreciate those comments, too, because mm-hmm. that helps them get better.
Absolutely.
I would say with this client in particular, though, you know, maybe take take her out to lunch and explain that you're on top of the situation and that you really are paying attention and listening to her concerns, but just maybe give her a little one-on-one time.
Great. Thank you all so much for that information.
All right, Julie, hopefully that helped out, and stay on the line for your gift card. On line three, we have Crystal. Crystal, how are you today?
Hi. Good morning, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Well, my question is about the fact that last year I did a really good amount of business with a security company in my area, but I only had one contact at the company, and he left. So I want to know how I can keep that business when I don't have any contacts anymore.
You have to go in and show them the work you did in the previous years for them and how you've been committed to them as your client with customer service, artwork, whatever those other services you offer to them. And just, you know, you have to sell yourself maybe all over again.
Do you know the person that took that person's place, or is it an open position at this point?
At this point, it's still open.
You know, then I would try to go to the head of whatever department you were calling on, if it was the marketing department or human resources, and try to make an in that way. Like Joe said, you know, the programs you provided for that company were for that company and not for the person who left. So I think proving your value, you know, to other contacts would be the way to go.
You might even pitch, if you get into the person who's managing that department or whatever, and it's, say, a marketing department or a promotion department, you might even pitch a bigger thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you might say, you know, that position's open, it's tough times. Let me, you know, do that job, you know, as your distributor consultant. Mm-hmm. And you could really maybe, you know, step it up a little bit, get more business, and really help them out by saying, you know, maybe you don't need to spend that money on that position. If the person was principally doing promotions and other kinds of things you could help, you know, do, you may be able to fill half the person's role or something.
That's a great idea.
That's a good point. And I would say always from the start try and get in with multiple departments in one client company, because then you'll have other contacts within the company that can refer you.
Okay.
All right, Crystal, hopefully that helps out. Stay on the line so we can get your information for the gift card. We also posted this question on our Facebook page. And, Joe, I think you have some comments there.
That's right. The help of Facebook Vinny Driscoll did this for us.
Is that his name now,
Facebook Vinny? Well, in this instance, it is. This is from Sue Wiley Clymert, and she asks, how do you recover from those clients that take your research and source through the Internet, then come back to beat you up on a better deal? How do you maintain margin and maintain the customer? My thoughts are one, you need to itemize everything you're doing for that client, not just here's the price for imprinted mugs, 500 mugs. You need to, you know, mark up all the creative work that you're doing for them so that you can at least get billed for that, paid for that. Because if they're going to source that elsewhere, you need to get paid for the creative that you did on the front end.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's, I think, one that distributors are increasingly facing, and it's almost a look in the mirror issue. You know, you have to determine what sort of margin you're ready to live on, and you know, if clients are beating you up on price and going below those margins, then maybe those aren't the clients that you necessarily want to be dealing with.
Yeah, and then it comes up to just be a commodity anymore, and you know, you're going to go to the cheapest place, and maybe, you know, it's a learning lesson for that client. If they go someplace else that's not as reputable, they don't like the product, they don't like the customer service, they don't like the imprint, they might be back to you, but I don't think that's a chance anyone wants to risk.
Yeah, and that's something I hear on the decorator side a lot, that, you know, people will leave the decorator based on price alone, and then they go somewhere and the embroidery is not good, or there's something wrong with the lettering or the imprint. And really, a lot of times in the case of the decorators I talk to, it comes down to confidence. They say, oh, I can't charge for the digitizing or the consulting that I've done or the creative. And I think you really have to. You have to put a value on your services.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's $20, $30, $50 an hour, whatever it is that you feel.
Sure. And if that client wants to beat you up on price, then go over the prices with them. Everything is itemized here. Okay, well, we won't put so much in, you know, the way of shipping. Instead of doing overnight or 3-day, we'll ship it regular mail. It'll get there a little later. You know, where do you want us to cut the price from? You know.
Also, for this person who's going to do it themselves and source directly, who's protecting them from product safety issues?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
that's a good
point. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You just threw that out there. You're just going to let that hang?
Well, it brings a lot more security to work with reputable supplier.
That's right.
Andy, I have another one from Facebook. This is from Joanne Canada. What else can we do to show a former customer that it would be in their best interest to come back on board besides the obvious low pricing and fast service?
Creative is kind of the number one thing right now. I mean, people want to see how creative you are. And you know, instead of just being an order taker, as we hear people say, you know, you need to be a marketing agency and really show what promotions you've done and also the ROI that your clients have achieved from those promotions.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the value add. It's what else are you doing for that client? You have to be their marketing arm. You have to be their advertising arm. You have to be their creative arms, because people have slashed staff and they don't have someone who's doing that now for them. So if you can provide that service for them,
and Nicole made a really good point about being able to show ROI, and we have a really great article on advantages this month in the April issue on ROI, so make sure you read that. And the people that are showing their clients ROI are the ones that are getting the business.
Right. I also think that you should really, you know, do some research. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, salespeople don't do enough research before they call on a client or a prospect or a lost client. You know, try to find out who are they targeting. Talk to five, you know, people that are prospects for that company, and ask them, you know, some questions about what's going on in that space, what kind of companies do they look for, and then go in with a plan and say, you know, I've done some research here. I've talked to a number of your customers, your prospects. Here's what I learned that you're doing that, you know, maybe, or maybe that your competitor's doing that you're not doing. Here's how I would help you reposition in the marketplace what you're doing with promotional products and other kinds of ideas. And I think distributors also need to think beyond just the promotional item. They need to think about how is it distributed, how is it warehoused, you know, how is it really handled, what kind of things do you do on the upfront to make sure the product is packaged appropriately. You know, often our, you know, products come in bulk, you know, shipping, and you really want to package them a little bit better before they're actually distributed. There's a lot the distributor can do that's completely unrelated to sourcing the product. Mm-hmm.
For sure. All right. We have another call on line three. We have Bob with a question about lost sales. Bob, what's your question for the host?
Well, I had a great rapport with a client. We did a lot of business with them. And then the person took a position in a totally different department without purchasing power. And the new broom that came in swept me right out the door. And I'm just wondering if it's a personality or style clash, and how do you deal with that?
Well, sometimes it could be a new person also has their own vendor, and they, you know, been working with them for a number of years, so you might want to find out if they do have another vendor and what it is that you can do to help, you know, at least try to get that business.
And I would say keep following up with them, even though they say they don't want to use your services right now. If they have a bad experience with the vendor they are using, they might come back to you, mm-hmm. especially since you have a great rapport with the person that still works at the company.
I would also reach out to the person that, you know, moved to another department and say, you know, could I have a cup of coffee with you and sort of pick your brain on what I need to do differently, because I'm not really, you know, it's not working out with this new person, because they may be very insightful in terms of what's really going on. And, you know, if you've had a good rapport with them and you've done good service, they should want to, you know, spend that 15, 20 minutes with you, helping you, you know what to do.
Yeah. I think, Bob, the message there really would be to stay on their radar as much as you can. Like Joe said, they might have other contacts, but, you know, you never know exactly how you can help them. And if you provide creative ideas, you know, then they might be more apt to go with you.
And tell them, too, say, well, you have an A team now. Can I at least be your B team in case the A team falls through?
Here's another quick caution, though. Don't spend too much time, mm-hmm. because you could easily find yourself, you know, you may find the next big client tomorrow if you're prospecting. Don't also waste time on somebody that really has made a decision and moved on. You know, keep in touch, but don't sort of become fixated on this, you know, this one client, because you may not be able to get it back.
And as always, be wary of your margins. You don't want to cut it to the bone, and then this person's going to expect that low price on every order you do for them in the future.
All right, Bob. Well, hopefully that helps. Stay on the line so we can get your information for your gift card.
Okay. Thanks for your ideas.
Now, let's take a quick break to hear from today's show sponsor, iPromoteYou. But when we return, we'll debate whether being ethical can actually help your bottom line.
This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by iPromoteYou. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteYou today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteYou, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
All right, we're back on ASI's Tuesday morning show. Want to chat with the host today? Give us a call to talk about any topic you'd like. The number to hang with us is 215-953-4979. We have one caller still on the line from our last segment. It's Ed. Ed, I understand you have a question regarding ad agencies. How are you?
Good morning. I would like to know your insight as to whether ad agencies are worth pursuing. I wonder, do many of them join ASI? I've heard that sentiment sometimes. And just in general, do you think that's a worthwhile target?
Well, I mean, I think as far as pursuing as clients, absolutely. There's a lot of distributors who partner with ad agencies and you know, use ad agencies will essentially use promotional products distributors as their resource to get to the products that they need. And that is a good partnership that people are pursuing, for sure.
Some of them able to join ASI?
Yeah, we certainly, if they're buying product to resell, just like a distributor who comes into the market, let's say a distributor is a print shop and they want to become a distributor of promotional products, they want to resell those products to their existing clients, certainly they can. I would tell you, though, it's a very small number of agencies. It's more, I would call them marketing agencies rather than ad agencies that join.
Right.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, most ad agencies that are really focused on creating advertising programs and et cetera, you know, really are focused on that business, and they would prefer to work with a distributor who's going to be able to handle all the logistical questions, you know which which products to source, who to source from, who to buy supplies from. They got their hands full, you know, trying to figure out radio, TV, and all the other things they do. Certainly there are some marketing firms that come in to ASI that may handle some advertising, but they're more the sort of well-rounded firm, I would say, that's really doing lots of different things, and promotional products just happens to be one of those things that they want to bring to the table.
Would you say it's a byproduct of being a large agency as far as the likelihood that they are going to be an ASI, a competitor to me, not somebody I can help?
No, I would say, in fact, it's just the opposite. The larger the agency is, the much less likely they are to be an ASI member. In fact, I don't think we have any large agencies at all. You know, there are more smaller firms that are ASI members. They really came in to say, okay, I'm one person, two people, three people. I run a little local agency, and I want to offer my clients all the marketing services that I want to offer them. And they probably aren't even that focused on ads. They're probably more focused on creative, you know, designing logos and letterheads and those kinds of things for a client. So certainly the large ones, you know, they're off doing, you know, big TV deals and stuff. They're not the ones that you're talking about.
Thank you.
All right, Ed, thanks for the call, and stay on the line for your so we can get your information for your gift card. Now, Michelle.
Yes.
Being
Andy.
Ethical.
Yes.
Can that help your bottom line?
It absolutely can.
All right. How?
Even though this institute sounds cockamamie, the Ethosphere.
The name of it is the Ethosphere?
The Ethosphere Institute, wow. A New York City think tank, on Monday released its fourth annual list of the world's most ethical companies. The listing is of companies with at least 100 employees and more than $50 million in annual revenue. And some of the things they look at are, they're scored in seven different categories. Innovation that contributes to the public well-being, executive leadership, and tone from the top. Would you like to guess some of the companies that made the final cut? Of course, let me just say, Hippy Dippy Patagonia absolutely made the list. They always make every list of ethical companies. Any other guesses?
Starbucks.
Yes.
Ben and Jerry's.
You know, probably. Yep.
Google.
That makes sense.
Google. Absolutely. A good one. Yep. We'll put the whole list on our website on asicentral.com/radio.
Walmart?
I wouldn't guess Walmart.
No.
Mm. No.
Not Walmart. But here's the thing. Ethisphere says the companies on this year's list have outperformed Standard & Poor's 500 by delivering a 53% return to shareholders since 2005, significantly higher than the Standard & Poor, which has been down 4% in the same period.
Wow.
And I think the lesson here, and then they go on to say this in the article, is that a company that's led ethically and that has ethical values, people look to that as somebody, you know, they want to emulate. These are the people that you want to do business with. So it really does help a company.
Yeah,
and I know
sense.
we have a list that we just made, didn't we, Mr.
Mm-hmm,
Andrews?
We did. Best places to work. And we also, locally in our own world here in Philadelphia, we were just named the large employer best places to work for our county.
Yay.
So we're very excited about that, too.
But something like that helps us, though, in a lot of ways, because people, we get a lot of really great candidates who want to come work
Absolutely.
For us.
We immediately get job, you know, resumes and all that. And in fact, at the ceremony, you know, we had like 350, 400 HR executives and corporate executives. And in my acceptance speech was very simple. We're hiring. And I walked off the stage. And I had two people walk up to me and say, yeah, I got bombarded. Two people walk up to me and said, really? My boss is here, but I'm going to call you later.
That doesn't sound ethical.
You caused a ruckus.
I caused a little ruckus. I think, hey, it's a good audience. You know?
It certainly does make a difference. And even though these companies are, you know, very large worldwide retail companies, there are things that you can take from them to take it for your business. And again, this will be on our website on ASICentral.com/radio.
Great. Well, speaking of best places to work, Kathy, I know that there's many places both in this industry and outside that are looking to boost morale, mm-hmm. and they're looking for inexpensive ways to do that. So what are some ways that they can do that?
Well, Andy, surprisingly, according to a Gallup poll, only 50% of employees surveyed said they were completely satisfied with the level of recognition they received at work. Some people said that their boss doesn't even say good morning.
Wow.
That's not very nice.
I know someone.
No.
What are you trying to say, Joe?
No, I know someone who will remain nameless, but this person's boss does not say anything on the way in, passing by the cubicle, nothing.
Well, maybe they don't want to talk to you.
Drives this person crazy.
It drives Joe Haley crazy. But anyway, there are simple and effective ways that you can boost employee morale without spending big bucks. And Greg Mazzullo of Proforma was actually quoted in this ABC News report.
Oh, we love Greg.
Yeah, we do. And he's come up with some fun ways to reward employees. Among predictable employee breakfast and casual days, there are a few surprises, such as Mazzullo set up an executive snow removal team and got them jackets. And they would, the executives of the company, listen, Tim, would remove the snow from the employees' cars.
You never hear, Kathy, so I can remove the snow from your car.
You can come to my house and clean my driveway. But I thought that was a really great idea. Another way employees are rewarded are, of course, they have learning, lunch and learns. The employers will utilize the lunch times to bring somebody in and mentor these people about various aspects of their business and their life, their personal lives too. And a big one is flex employee schedules. Employees are big on that, and like even more so than financial gain. Wow. They like to have their flexibility.
From the girl who comes in at 11 and leaves at 8, I'm all for that.
From the girl who's never here.
Interesting. Well, I know a lot of big brands are trying to find a new channel as far as ways to increase their revenues. And W Hotels is doing something interesting, starting their own clothing line. Nicole, what's the lowdown on that?
Yeah, this is actually a really great example of branding using a private apparel line. So Starwood's W Hotel chain just hired a fashion director, Amanda Ross, and she's putting together a whole line of jewelry, apparel, bags that are inspired by different hotels and destinations. Now, obviously, all this apparel doesn't have big logos on it, but the thing is that people are attracted to the brand. They want to be part of it. And so they've capitalized on this by saying, well, we're going to create a line. It's actually called the Global Glam Collection. It's stuff that people want to buy, and they'll sell it in their hotels. So how do people use that, you know, in regular life if you don't have a global glam line? You know, I mean, there are a lot of businesses who have loyal followings. You know, there are mm-hmm. bars, clubs, you know, there are a lot of businesses who do that. And so they actually want to sell their clients hats, wristbands, T-shirts, sweatshirts, all kinds of things with logo. And the cooler that you as a distributor can, you know, the cooler products that you can show and the cool logo placements and things like that, people will actually want to wear them. So that's kind of a good lesson to take away.
Yeah, that really is, because there's a lot of clients out there that are looking, like I said, to find a new revenue channel. And mm-hmm. this is one that they're looking at. And you could be the source for them for it.
I would also say in a recent issue of W Magazine, private label is on the upswing.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's when companies build their own brand for their employees. And it really has become more popular over the past couple of years.
And that's something a distributor can do. They can partner with a supplier and have that supplier help them create a line that, you know, basically will be sold to this end user, and no other, you know, client will have that same exact styling on the apparel, which is kind of cool. And I'll mm-hmm. have their label, you know, with their company name mm-hmm. in it.
All right. Well, speaking of branding efforts, Joe, I understand that companies are doing some interesting brand placement that's targeting airline travelers.
Well, yeah. Actually, the whole story is about branding in areas where it hasn't been before. Years ago, I was up in New England, and we went to a gas station. There was a little commercial on the gas pump as you pumped your gas. So that was an area that's never been used. About a year or two ago, they were starting to brand on the back of airline seats, those little covers that they put. Now it's on snack foods being offered by the airlines. And the company's called Brand in the Hand. And what they do is they offer other corporations, other firms, the opportunity to brand the snack peanuts, the pretzels, the napkins, the cups that you're going to use on the airline. They say that it's working well because people are receptive to this. It's almost like promotional products. It's the brand of advertising you actually hand to someone, and someone's happy to get. This is what's happening on the airlines. 600 million travelers in the U.S. each year you get on there. And recently it was the Hilton Garden Inns initiated a campaign on board Delta Flights advertising its cook-to-order meals on peanut and pretzel bags. Wow. So the one thing they're saying, though, that advertisers need to be wary of is that if it becomes too invasive, then the receiver of that message might push back and not like it. So, you know, there's opportunity here for, yeah, I would think, this industry to get involved.
I think people are used to it,
no,
too.
No, this mm-hmm. is.
I think people are more used to it than ever.
Sure. But, I mean, what a great opportunity. I mean, the airlines then don't have to buy the bags of peanuts mm-hmm. because the advertising's putting their name on it. They can give out the snacks to the travelers. And I like when I get that bag of peanuts, that little bag of pretzels. I would welcome
like
that ad message.
Those, don't you?
But you never eat them.
No, I eat them later on the hotel
yeah,
room.
I've never seen you eat them.
I know. I stick them in my bag. I take them with me.
Okay.
I eat them later.
He takes them away? Yeah. You take 4 ounces of
I'm
pretzels
I
away?
I get 2 bags. So I have 8 ounces of pretzels.
Well, you probably have like
you're
a hoarder. That's terrible.
I do. No, I eat them. I eat them.
All right. Well, we have another caller on the line. We have Leah on line 3 with a question for the Lowe's host. Leah, how are you today?
Hi, good, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I love this show. So.
Great. Thanks. Well, thanks. What's your question?
My question actually is about trying to get more business from a current customer. So I'm lucky to have this customer for about 3 years now. And I've asked for a letter of recommendation a couple of times, and they've not come through. But funny thing is, they, you know, they keep hiring me over and again, and they spend a good amount of money with me. But I haven't found a way to get them to refer customers to me or even write that letter for me. And I wondered, how can I get this good client to start working for me? It just seems like maybe they're always too busy or what have you. I just looking for some suggestions.
Well, do you have a referral program in place?
Do I have what?
A referral program in place for all your clients where you would give them some type of reward for referring you?
Not a formal one. I do different things for different people. Mm-hmm. So not the same process.
I would say that you have to, it doesn't have to be very formal, but you have to make it known that you have this type of program in place. Put it on your business cards, put it on your purchase orders, let them know after an order. I'd really appreciate a testimonial from you. And also, if you could refer me down the line to somebody who might use my services and tell them about your great experience with me. I'd say that you have to let all your clients know that you have this in place.
I think you also need to be careful when you're rewarding them. Make sure you're rewarding the company and not the individual at the company, because that gets very, we were talking about ethics a few minutes ago. If the company finds out you're, giving somebody something of value, they might not appreciate that. And in fact, that person could get in a lot of trouble. But I think having a program that says, hey, if you refer somebody to me, I'll give you 5% off your next order, or I'll do something, special. I'll, increase your, quantity, by some percentage of the next product or whatever, doing something for them. I also think that, for instance, I never write a referral letter or a letter of recommendation, because you don't know what's going to happen to that letter, and you don't know what's going to happen, in a year, am I still going to feel the same way about that organization? So maybe ask your key contact if they would mind having a phone call, once or twice in a year from a prospect you have. So maybe they'll take the call, but they won't want to put something in writing. So that's the other way to sort of get an endorsement, but do it in a way that maybe is more acceptable to them.
Gotcha.
I do.
All right, Leah, we'll stay on the line and we can get your information for your gift card. All right, Joe, we have about a minute left for your rant. So what are we ranting about today?
All right, until recently, Andy, a flash mob was a gathering of people organized via a social network in which they did something inane or silly. Some flash mobs have gathered and erupted into 15 seconds of thunderous applause and then dispersed. Others have shown up in frozen place at a specified time, had pillow fights, or sang Do Re Mi from The Sound of Music. Now, thanks to a horde of unruly teens in Philadelphia, flash mobs have gone from innocent to violent. Again, they are created via social media, a gathering place is announced, and the participants descend. Only they're not emulating the Von Trapps. Rather, they are wreaking havoc with anything in their path. Stores and cars are vandalized, and innocent bystanders are either intimidated or, worse yet, beaten. After a recent mob of 2,000 young people descended on South Street in Philadelphia, the arrest came, and with it came the same old tired excuses and pleas. My boy is a good kid. One mother sobbed after her son was sent off to a juvenile detention center. Really, lady? Because most kids I know don't kick someone in the head 5 times. Then there are the parents who refuse to take responsibility. Instead, they blame schools and the city for not having anything for kids to do after school. That excuse doesn't work in this instance, as the South Street flash mob occurred on a Saturday evening. The Philly mayor and police commissioner have had enough and are coming down hard on offenders and are being diligent on trying to disrupt future flash mobs.
Oh, my God.
But in our copycat society, wow, it is only a matter of time before this sort of trash makes its way to other cities. One can only hope that the parents everywhere step up to the challenge of raising their kids the right way, and this never happens again.
Oh, boo. Oh, boo hiss. I'm completely opposed. That is what created America, was groups of people getting together to say that they wanted to do something. Now, I don't condone violence. Absolutely not. No violence or anything like that. But I think it's a very fine line between when police are disrupting a group just because they don't like the groups getting together and when there's violence. So if they do violence, that's a whole other story. But I think when the police start saying you can't, congregate whenever you want to, and they start blaming social media for it, I think you need to be careful.
No, not you particularly, but one
needs to be careful.
Okay. My rant was specifically about the violent flash mobs. I think those other ones are silly and goofy and fun. There was one group that went to a department store. 100 people gathered around a rug, and they said they all live together in a Soho flat, and they're making a decision to buy a rug, but they all have to have a say in it.
Beautiful.
That's goofy. That's fun. Well, that's okay.
Well, on that note,
are we done?
Unfortunately, we are all out of time today.
I've been done.
Thanks to our show sponsor, I Promote You. Thanks to all of our hosts in the studio, and most of all, thanks to our listeners. Remember to join us again next Tuesday at 10:30 Eastern Time, when we'll interview real estate mogul and business maven Barbara Corcoran. Thanks for listening.
Woo-hoo. Wow.